Welcome, everyone, to Breaking Big Blue. I'm your host, Jordan Ron, on ESPN, ESPN.com, Giants reporter. And if you could sense a little sadness in that tone, that's because it's a tough time to be alive around here, right? And the Breaking Big Blue podcast, because it's official. The conductor is retiring, right? So if you've been following long enough around here, you know I've been on that Daniel Jones bandwagon. I put on the conductor hat. I did a choo-choo. You know, like even nowadays, like it's not even a hearty choo-choo. It's just like all that's left is like choo-choo. Like that's all I got in me. That's all the conductor has left in him. So what I did this week was I took the hat, the conductor hat, that I bought on Amazon for, who knows, you know, $5, $10. So very valuable, of course, the conductor hat that I've worn to do bits about Daniel Jones and me being the conductor, and he was going to be their quarterback for the future and moving forward. And I took that hat, sadly, off my head, opened the top drawer of my desk, and I put it in there, likely for good. Because that is what the 2023 season has evolved into. Mind you, 9 months, the 10 months after a playoff win. Okay. 7 months after he signed what on paper is a 4-year, $160 million deal. But this is the reality that we had to retire the conductor bit. The conductor, the actual conductor, the last man standing at one point, who was hanging by his fingertip, and I have my pinky extended right now, hanging on to the end of the Daniel Jones bandwagon while everybody else was off. By the way, hanging on meant, like I remember I was saying at the time, like he could be like a Ryan Tannehill a little better. Like that was considered the staunchest Daniel Jones supporter at the time. Then he had obviously that really strong 2022 season, sixth in QBR. I know people want to harp on the 15 touchdown passes, but he played really well last year. First year, Brian Daboll, Mike Kafka, add weapons this offseason. It's only going to get better. But here's why I had to retire the conductor bit. Because here's the reality with where we stand right now. Daniel Jones, I'm sure you know, tore his knee in Sunday's game. He tore actually the last play of the first quarter. You could see he, and at the time I even tweeted, I think Daniel Jones just sacked himself because his leg kind of got caught up and he just stumbled and he just fell down around Lawrence Cager. Very next play, after he like jogged around a little bit, tried to throw the ball, looked like he was going to be fine. But he goes out there the very next play, middle of his dropback. To me, it almost looked like similar to Aaron Rodgers. In the middle of the dropback, he just fell down. Okay, so he's fallen on his backside. He goes to get up, and you could tell at that moment when he stood up, he knew something was wrong. Like, I even turned to Pat Leonard from New York Daily News next to me. I said, you know what? I think he just tore his Achilles. Actually, it was Dan Duggan. Sorry, from The Athletic. So I think he just tore his Achilles like Rodgers, but it actually was his knee, not his Achilles. But you could tell when he stood up for that 2 seconds, he knew right away something was wrong. And then he grabbed at the knee immediately after that. Like, oh, uh-oh. That's got to be his ACL. Got to be. Find out the next morning, torn ACL. Like, everybody in the locker room knew it beforehand. Daniel Jones knew it beforehand. He didn't want to say it. After the game, as he walked through the locker room, I tried to, you know, say, hey, it's out there that it's likely a torn ACL. I want to say anything. He just plowed through the locker room as if nobody was there. Clearly not, you know, in good spirits, probably almost certainly had a brace underneath the sweatpants or warm-up pants he was wearing. Couldn't see at the time. No, leg looked stiff. Was definitely limping. So now Daniel Jones is out for the season. Tyrod Taylor's on IR, and Brian Daboll actually wouldn't even commit to Tyrod Taylor being back this year. So this is why you have to be off the conductor had to retire. This is the reality. It's not that I don't think Daniel Jones will play. It's not that I probably would bet on Daniel Jones starting more games for this team. He's under contract next year. They owe him $35.5 million. He's not going anywhere. But the reality of the situation right now is that you have to be concerned about Daniel Jones's health. That's factor one. He had another neck injury, his second in 3 years, earlier this season, forcing him to miss three games. Now he's coming back from a torn ACL. So he has an extensive injury history. It's hard right now to feel optimistic about Daniel Jones's long-term future. I know it's just an ACL, but given those three, its particular injuries on top of that, he had some ankle problems, high ankle sprains throughout his career, stuff like that. So he has a lengthy injury history. So it's hard to be super confident investing in him long-term right now. Clearly. I mean, this is just common sense. This is logic. And then we're throwing into the mix that the Giants are going to be bad. They're already bad. They're 2-7. Like, bad to the point where they have a chance to be in the top five, the top three, the top pick. How about this? So our ESPN analytics, here's what their odds say. The Giants had a 9.4 percent chance of getting the top pick if Daniel Jones played out the season. When they factored in that it's likely Tommy DeVito now or Matt Barkley, they now have a 23% chance, according to our analytics. Of course, these are projections. They're predicting how the season will play out based on who's there and the talent that's there and the team that's on the field. 23% chance to get the top pick. 89% chance to be in the top five. 89%. So you have a 90% chance to be in a top five in an uber-strong quarterback draft led by Caleb Williams and Drake May. Initial calls and talks, I know people say Michael Penix. I don't think Michael Penix is going to be in that mix. J.J. McCarthy, another potential first-round pick, Michigan quarterback. Don't think we're talking that level, but we'll get into more of that as I'll make calls and we'll get into that more. We're 9 games into the season. 9 games. Giants are 2-7, though, so it's over. They got smashed in Las Vegas. Probably we're going to get smashed anyway before Daniel Jones got hurt, but that just made it into a total joke of a game. Barely even watched the rest of the game. Busy writing up, you know, Daniel Jones injury stories and all this other stuff because that's what matters now most for the long term of the season. Where they go, where they at as a team. They have a 90% chance to be a top five pick. A 99.2% chance of being in the top 10. So let's think back for a second. Josh Allen, who came from Buffalo, Joe Shane at the time, I believe they got Josh Allen with the 7th or 8th pick. I think it was the 7th pick of that 2018 NFL draft. Strong quarterback draft, it was considered. They end up with Josh Allen with the 7th. So even if they're in the top 10, you know, in their 7th, maybe there's somebody they like, or they could trade up from 7. At the time, I believe Buffalo, with Joe Shane or his mentor, Brandon Bean, what he did was, I believe they started at 21, and they ended up trading up twice to get to, was it 7 or 8? 7, I believe. Yeah, 7th. You know, so even if they're like, if they're 7th, 8th, 9th now, you could always put together an offer with the right team, if the right teams fall in the right place, to get up to, you know, 1, 2, 3, whatever it may be, wherever you can get up to. Now, it's complicated by the fact that there's a bunch of teams that are in that mix, right? We're talking about New England, right? You're talking about Chicago. You're talking about Arizona. These are all teams that are bad that could be in the quarterback mix. Denver. So I got Chicago, Arizona, New England, and Denver. They all stink. They're all bad teams. They're all almost certainly going to be in the top 10. So they're in the same mix as the Giants. So there's going to be a little arms race here to get to that top pick, depending on how the draft order shakes out. And remember, Carolina's not on there only because they stink too. But the Bears have Carolina's pick. So if you're the Bears, you want to basically be pick 1 and 2. You could pick your quarterback. You move on from Justin Fields. That wasn't your guy. He hasn't really shown that he could be a consistent passer. And then you have Carolina's pick at 2, and you could sell it to the highest bidder, to those teams that are looking for a quarterback who have high picks as well, the other ones that I just named. So that's probably where the Giants could fall into that mix. That's a scenario that could unfold. Now, we'll have plenty of time to talk about this. But with the Giants having such a high pick, Daniel Jones having that injury history to worry about, and the Giants, here's the key. Here's why they can do it. And here's why the situation can play out the way that I'm looking at it right now. Daniel Jones's contract Next year, he's guaranteed $35.5 million. He's going to be on their roster. Just makes sense. Even if they draft a young quarterback, you keep him around. 9 months from the ACL likely means he'll be back by August. So he should be ready for the start of the season. Quarterback being back in 8-9 months from an ACL injury is not crazy. So I expect him to be back by the summer. So being ready for the start of the season, which is now, by the way, in mid-September, which would be about 10 full months out from surgery, assuming he has surgery here in the next week, like 10-plus months out to the start of the season, Daniel Jones will be fine. So if they draft a guy, they have the option of, A, starting Daniel Jones for the season, which I think is probably the move. You draft a guy high, you let him sit for a little bit, learn, even if he's the number one overall pick. And the second, you know, you start to stumble or Daniel Jones isn't playing at a great high level, you just make the transition. Or you just start the young guy, the young rookie quarterback, and then you keep Daniel Jones around because you need a backup and you need a good backup because look at the injury. Bryce Young has already missed games. Anthony Richardson's out for the season. So there's a good chance that Daniel Jones will start games even if he's the backup to Caleb Williams or Drake May or whoever to start the season. So he's not gone, and that's the only reason I'm leaving even the slimmest possibility. This is the only scenario that I could see right now really unfolding where Daniel Jones ends up being the quarterback of the Giants, where they draft a guy because I expect him to be in the top five, top seven of the draft. But they draft a quarterback. Daniel Jones starts the season, plays really, really well to the point where they just can't move on from him, right? He's playing so well, they make a magical run. But think about the odds of that scenario at this point. The odds of that scenario unfolding and then him staying healthy with this long injury history, two neck injuries, coming off a torn ACL, playing at that level right away back from there. It's just so slim right now. That's why the conductor had to retire.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Sad, sad times if you're the conductor or you were on the Daniel Jones bandwagon. So now the Giants sit at 2-7. It's a wasted season, total mess of a season. I don't even know where they go from here. They're averaging 11.2 points per game. Don't see how it gets better. Now, I'm not going to sit here and talk about them firing Brian Daboll and firing Joe Schoen because I don't think it's going to happen. Will I say it's 100% not going to happen, though? No. And here's the only reason why. Because we've been here before. We've been down this road before. This is the fourth straight coach that year two has been an absolute disaster. And guess what happened the first three times? The first time, by the way, the Giants were so certain Ben McAdoo wouldn't be fired that John Mara went on record, put out a statement saying he wasn't going to be fired. And guess what? Several weeks later, guess what happened to Ben McAdoo? He was fired. They told Joe Judge. They had sit-down meetings with Joe Judge. You're not going to be fired. You're not going to be fired. He felt so confident that he wasn't going to be fired that he's out there and he's got Jake Fromm playing quarterback. Jake Fromm, by the way, I believe this wholeheartedly, is worse as a quarterback than what the Giants are going to play with this year if it's Tommy DeVito or Matt Barkley, whoever they end up signing. Like, Jake Fromm is... Tommy DeVito is better than Jake Fromm, in my opinion, than the Jake Fromm we saw here. But Joe Judge felt that confident he was going to be back. He was willing to just basically not score any points the rest of the season. Just end the season with Jake Fromm and get the best pick they could get and just move forward from there. And guess what? He was fired. Now, Brian Daboll and Joe Shane built up way more equity. First of all, they're aligned, which is a huge benefit here. Right, in the past, the coach and GM weren't aligned. That's kind of why it was made sense to move on from Judge. But Joe Shane and Brian Daboll are aligned, and they have some equity built up from last year. Now, they've squandered a lot of that equity in regards to confidence that this organization is headed in the right direction and they're in great hands and they're going to do big things with those two in charge. To the point where not they should be fired, but that we're not really sure, right, that there's definitely uncertainty. It's like for everything Brian Daboll did good in year one, there's equal on the other side of the argument to say he did not do well in year two. So not saying he should be fired, I would fire him. Actually, the exact opposite, I wouldn't. But now I have serious questions about how good a coach is he? Can he hold the locker room together? I think that's going to be a big question here down the stretch. So we already saw some cracks. Xavier McKinney. I'll tell you that story in 1 second. Dexter Lawrence the other day saying, he didn't understand why they made the move of trading Leonard Williams. And then from a player perspective, I get it. They're trying to win, and they're always trying to win. They're never willing to throw in the towel. But that's the thing what happens when you're bad, and that's when you really get tested to see, how strong is the culture you built? Can you sustain the bad times? That's always the key. Everybody can be good when things are going well. The question is, what happens when things go poorly? Can you keep it together then? And that's going to be the big test here from Brian Daboll. Now, with the Xavier McKinney thing, he was saying after the game, basically, I just went up to him, just me, and I said, hey, you're a leader of this team. How big a blow is it to lose your quarterback for likely the rest of the season? And McKinney started off by saying it's tough. And then he basically pivoted into this whole thing about our leaders aren't being heard. We give suggestions. They're falling on deaf ears. Let me say this. The Giants defense, by the way, in the previous three games, had given up 14, 7, and 13 points. 33 points in three games. They were playing really well. So I'm not really sure what Xavier McKinney's talking about here. I get it. He was frustrated. But it seems to be, in this case, a little bit of a selfish perspective. Because the defense had been playing well. Yeah, they did not play well in Las Vegas. They played a poor game. The Raiders, with a young rookie quarterback, went in there. They ran the ball down the Giants' throats. They made plays in the passing game. They took advantage of, Deontay Banks had a rough game. That was a rough game from the rookie cornerback, had a rough game. And rookie cornerbacks are going to have rough games. They're going to have rough games. That happens. But the overall, Giants defense did not play particularly well, especially in the first half. They kind of settled down a little bit, but it was too late at that point. So Xavier McKinney afterward is frustrated. He starts talking about leaders, their voices not being heard, giving suggestions. Brian Daboll downplayed that the other day, the day after. Said they have productive meetings, leadership council type meetings. But when you have 9, 10, they started with 10 captains. Leonard Williams is gone now, so it's 9. A bunch of them are on now in IR. You're talking about Graham Gano. You're talking about Daniel Jones is going to be on IR. Leonard Williams is gone. So, yeah, but still, that's a lot of captains and a lot of people to listen to, which is kind of the point of, hey, maybe you shouldn't have so many captains, which is kind of why it's laughable when you have 10 captains in the first place. So if you have 10 different guys, and they're all voicing their opinion, you can't listen to everybody in there. Anyway, the coach is just going to pick and choose what they want to listen to anyway. And it's Brian Daboll's show, and you talk to people around there. He's going to run it the way Brian Daboll wants to run. And then Andrew Thomas also downplayed another one of the captains. Spent most of the season out. He's back now. By the way, that was the best version of the Giants offensive line we've seen this season. I know there was a lot of sacks, but some of it was Tommy DeVito holding the ball forever and Tommy DeVito running and not throwing it out of bounds or running, getting sacked himself behind the line of scrimmage. Like the Giants offensive line with Andrew Thomas at left tackle, Justin Pugh at left guard, John Michael Schmitz at center, Ben Bredesen at right guard, and Evan Neal at right tackle was their best version of the offensive line. Although, if you put Tyree Phillips in there this week and Evan Neal's dealing with a left ankle sprain, didn't look good after the game. He was limping heavily with his shoes off.
Tyree Phillips might actually be an upgrade from Evan Neal. So that might actually be the offensive line they put out this week. Could be the best offensive line they had. And it's definitely getting better. But with no real high quarterback play, Tommy DeVito, I mean, or Matt Barkley, where are they really going? Nowhere. Saquon Barkley still be able to run the ball somewhat effectively. But, I mean, were they going to give it to him 35 times a game heading into a contract year and then be like, okay, yep, time to sign you. But, hey, you got all these – the miles are really adding up on you here. Like, God, tough spot for Saquon. So what a mess. What a mess to the point. Cry your tears. Crocodile tears, probably. But anyway, cry those tears. The conductor has officially retired. November 6th. On to the next one.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business. No matter what stage you're in, shopify.com/network.
All right, we're going to wrap up this episode of Breaking Big Blue. Little quick Jordan on the beat. This is where I tell you what it's like to cover the Giants, work for ESPN, or cover the NFL in general. And first of all, the reason I'm banging this out early this week, and it's a real quick episode, producer Scopin is going to be away the rest of the week, so I had to get it done quickly at the beginning of the week. Flew back from Vegas on the red eye, you know, Sunday into Monday, super tired Monday, banging out first thing Tuesday morning. We'll get back to the normal schedule. I'll get some guests and we'll pump them out towards, like, you know, Wednesday, Thursday of the week rather than the beginning of the week, which we've been doing for the most part this season. But Vegas, let me tell you, obviously Vegas is Vegas. It's a great place if you like that kind of stuff. But what it was for me was the completion of the NFL Stadium Tour. I mentioned this on the last episode. The Allegiant Stadium, Vegas, was the last of the current stadiums that I had not been to. So now I've been to 30 of 30 stadiums, not 32 stadiums. I didn't get it wrong, because remember, the LA teams and the Giants and Jets share stadiums. So there's only 30 stadiums, current stadiums in the NFL. I've been to all 30. This one was pretty good. Pretty good. Just beautiful. Inside is just beautiful, you know, boxes everywhere. There's like a Wynn Field Club or something, where basically they have a club. You know, it's set up like club tables. Like, you get a table at a club and you get bottle service. Like, it's set up right there in the end zone like that. And then after the game, like, behind there, there's a curtain there. There's legitimately a club with, like, house music blasting. Like, there's a club going on and people having a good time. You know, bottles of Classe Azul and 1942, like, all over the place. Like, that's what it was like down there. Rick Ross is performing, like, cool stadium. And it's just really nice all around. They did a good job with that Vegas stadium. Now, where does it fall on the list? So my current updated list, I'm just going to give a top three here. Maybe one day in the offseason I'll go over all 30 and rank them. But I'm just going to do top three, my top three favorite stadiums. Now, I don't think it's coincidence that these three stadiums are all on the newer side, you know, the last 15, 20 years. Because every new stadium that comes out, it seems to be, like, bigger, better than the stadium before. So, number three on my list. Minnesota, okay? Just a beautiful stadium. The roof, the way it looks from the outside, everything's awesome. The whole atmosphere in there, it's super cool. the whole Scola might be one of my favorite chants. Just like when you're in there and you hear that, the open air press boxes also make it just super. So that the Vegas was also open air press box, meaning there's no soundproof windows and glass, and you don't need it because it's indoors, right? You don't need that for, like, it's usually weather related. You can't have that at MetLife Stadium. It'll be freezing in there in the winter. It'll rain and snow into the press box. That yada yada yada. In Minnesota and Las Vegas, you don't have to worry about that. They're both indoor. They're both domes. So number three is Minnesota. Super cool environment. School, school. When they all do that, and I'm ranking it on not just like the stadium, but what I think is what I've noticed to be the best environments to watch a game. So number three for me, putting it all together, combine the stadium, the environment to watch the game, all the accoutrements around it, namely the video board, what you could see, Rick Ross performing there, like on like a platform where they had like it set up. They had a former running back light a big torch before the game, like super cool. That was Vegas I'm talking about. So those kind of things factor into it. And that's why Vegas, for me, I'm putting it number two. So three is Minnesota, two is Vegas, and one to me remains AT&T Stadium and Dallas. Just because I think the environment, first of all, the scoreboard is still super huge and awesome and cool. Now, LA just missed. It's almost too big, but they have an even bigger scoreboard. I'm talking about the stadium in general. It's a super cool stadium, super nice, modern. The concourse looks great. Food looks awesome there. But still, Dallas, the food is amazing. They treat you amazing in the press box as well. Same as they did in Las Vegas. Boy, let me tell you, the dessert table they had. And then on top of that, they have a separate candy table. So they're really making a run at Dallas in regards to that. In regards to how they treat the media. Now they don't have the beer tap that Dallas has, which is really just like the kiss, chef's kiss of how you treat the media right there. How do you treat fat, old middle-aged sports writers? I mean, you give them food and you give them beer. You know, can't go wrong there. So, yeah, Dallas, that adds to the mix. But the atmosphere in Dallas, the stadium is super cool. It's huge. There's a lot of standing room area. People are just always into it. And it has, in my opinion, the highest female audience, the percentage of females in the stands, which I think adds to the mix. So just, and I'm not saying this because, you're looking for to pick up women in the stadium. I'm saying this because it just has the best overall, environment in regards to that. It's just a big party and everybody's into the game. It's not like they're just there, for the entertainment. No, they're there for the game. They're all into the Dallas Cowboys there, and they're into the Cowboys playing the Giants, obviously, when we go there. It's just a great atmosphere. It's a big party-like atmosphere that's still centered around the game. Now, like, New Orleans can be a party-like atmosphere, but sometimes it's not really centered on the game. And there's other places like that as well. But there in Dallas, it just has a great party football combination atmosphere. Again, they have those boxes on the field with the tables, and it's super cool. If you're sitting in one of those boxes, you're having a day. You're having yourself a day with a lot of bottles and a lot of drinking, and you're going to spend a lot of money. A lot of money. Can't imagine what it costs for a table on the field in Dallas or at Legion Stadium in Vegas. But I'll tell you what, you're going to have a good time. So that's my 1, 2, 3 goes Dallas, AT&T Stadium, 2, Allegiant Stadium, and 3, Minnesota. Now, of course, it could be super cold in Minnesota, but again, all three of those, dome. All three of those have indoor capabilities. Vegas is always a dome, I believe. I don't think it opens. Minnesota, does it open? I don't know. Dallas opens. The only complaint I have about Dallas is that roof. The sun can shine in the roof and create a glare. We've seen that before. That's been a problem. We've seen Giants receivers fumble or unable to catch balls. That is one of the downsides of it. But I'm talking about the atmosphere of being in there four a game. Love it in there. So that's my top three. That's my top three stadiums to be at and go and watch a game at. We'll maybe get into more in the offseason. I'll go deeper into the stadium reviews since I've now been to all 30. And let me tell you, MetLife, dirty secret. It's not near the top. It's not. I promise you. It's not near the top. Not that anybody is surprised at all. And God, one of the ugliest looking stadiums. All right. That's it for this episode of Breaking Big Blue. Yes, the conductor has retired. He reserves the right to come out of retirement just like anybody else, right? He's not dead. The conductor's not dead. He just retired. He's going to see if he enjoys retirement right now. Maybe he decides next year he'll come out of retirement. But it would take extenuating circumstances for the conductor to want to come out of retirement. Because, I mean, man, I would love to be in retirement. You know, I mean, on the golf course, you know, playing poker, you know, in the clubhouse or wherever. Like that seems like a pretty good life. So I think the conductor's going to like it. I think he's going to like it. I don't think we're going to see the conductor ever again. I think we're going to have to retire that bit. Sad, sad time to be alive here. That's it for this episode. See you next time.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and the Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.